Right now, it's time for the best 5 minutes of the day on a 34-degree Tuesday, February 7th. Good morning to Jason Kantz.
Good morning. Man, that's a good start. Love to hear 34 degrees.
Yeah, I know. Tell you what, the forecast, another thing of interest and note I was mentioning with Snowmageddon a few years in our rearview mirror,
is there
a major, and there's just sort of a feel out there like I'm kind of bracing for a big snowstorm. Nothing in the forecast through Monday in that regard, so.
Well, that's good. Tessa actually asked me yesterday if we were in spring now, and I said, no, we've got a long way to go before we get there, but it is encouraging for today anyway.
So. Michael's annual question since he arrived here for good in December of 2019 was, I remember in January him going, so when is the snow going to leave? You know, and it's like, well, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
So is winter almost over? All right, we got some work cut out for us today because we may take a couple of days on this book. We're working through Crab Fest, celebrating, saluting, remembering the late, great Larry Crabb, who went to be with the Lord 2 years ago, February 28th. We'll mark that. And so we reached the book Inside Out in your tribute and Living in the Larger Story today.
Yeah, you know, I almost feel like I shouldn't be the one to talk about this because of the significant influence this book has had on you.
We can talk about it together.
And apparently a lot of people, this was Larry's best-selling book of all of them that he wrote. And, you know, there's a lot that he really developed here. And I commented in my chapter that this is really where he seems to be moving away from what people call cognitive behavioral thinking. So really having to do with how people think, to this idea of thirst, right? That we have this inner longing, this deep longing that can't be filled by anything other than God. And this really becomes the strong theme here. One of the things you had asked yesterday was about the influence of John Piper. And definitely in this book, we see that John Piper's book, Desiring God, this could be considered the Larry Crabb companion to that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when I think about it, there's a lot of different things. I mean, it was a book that, for me, I mean, I highlighted it a lot and read it through over and over. I mean, just different concepts, and you'll hear me refer to. I mean, it's a book that faith, hope, and love, that faith comes out of confusion, hope comes out of disappointment, love out of conviction over our own sin. I love that then and now. But I think maybe if not the best, I mean, there's just so much that's in there that's worthwhile, but just the idea of relational sin, that God is a relational God, that as the book Delighting in the Trinity says, God is love because God is Trinity. God has been loving from eternity past, and the Godhead didn't need us because he was lonely. And so, I'll finish with this, the idea of setting what the level of sin, I think where Pharisees fail then and now, and we can all be plagued by this, is setting the bar for sin too low. It's not, it's way higher. It's whatever instance I'm not thinking, saying, or doing in a loving way towards you, that's sinful. And that, I don't know, was a great relief to me to realize we all massively fall short.
Yeah, and I think that's right. That's the point, right, is that we all massively fall short of the glory of the relational glory of God, I think is a way to think about that too.
And because the next step in Philippians 3 is verses 2 through 6, and that's a whole lot to get to, let me just quote scripture from Matthew 23, 25, and 26 that ties into Inside Out. And then we've actually got a song about this book that somebody wrote that was impacted by Larry David Meese. But Matthew, so Jesus gets done. He lights up the Pharisees with the seven woes of Matthew 23. And then near the end of that, he's got verses 25 and 26 where he's like, clean the inside of the cup and dish first, and then both the inside and outside will be clean. And so, you know, Larry got criticism from different people along the way, and sometimes people would be like, wow, this inside look stuff, you know, is it like navel gazing? But I'm like, I don't know. What do you think Jesus is talking about in these two verses, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, and I think, again, it's really trying to understand how we love God and how God loves us, how we love one another, and honestly, how we have right love for self. And you know, again, to understand those longings and those thirsts that are within us, and how those are ultimately met in God. You know, the other thing that I would mention is the whole notion of troubled reflectors versus shallow copers, which I know that you and I have talked about
before,
which shows up here. And I think you and I tend both toward that troubled reflectors, where we, you know, this stuff just stirs us and stirs us and stirs us. And that can be challenging, but I think ultimately good.
That's right. Hey, I'm going to close with this. Sharon Hirsch. You know, I appreciate, and she had a Facebook post quoting somebody the other day on Sunday that said, "We are so ruined and so loved and in charge of so little." And I think that kind of is quite the way to end that today. So,
that's worth chewing on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. One more time. We are so ruined, so loved, and in charge of so little. But again, realizing that. So, hey, thank you, Jason. Inside Out. You know, so David Meese had quite a story, and including growing up in Houston, incredibly talented musically and vocally. But his dad was a raging alcoholic who, as David tells the story, and it's painful to even share for me, much less for him, of driving his car into the house and coming into the house and his brother and him sharing a bedroom. But ultimately, in this horrible night, putting a gun to David's head and surviving all that mess. And so talk about the complication of life, right? David got some help from Larry Crabb over the years, wrote a book even with his once-in-a-lifetime album, had a companion book, but he actually has the song Once in a Lifetime. So what a way to follow this morning. Thanks, friend. Talk to you tomorrow.
You bet.
Cliff knows more birthdays this guy up in Spooner, I'll tell you. Good morning, Halvo. You guessed it. A couple of birthday shout-outs in Eau Claire today. One, you'll have Laura Gary, and another, Nevaeh Lambert. Both are friends of ours from Jacob's Well. There you go. So from Cliff to you folks today. And off of Facebook, let's check those birthdays today. The more than 3,000 Facebook friends with whom I am so tight. We are just so in touch with each other, to whatever extent the algorithms allow us. Our friend Lincoln in Liberia turning the big 3-0 today. Jackie Ramsey, the better half of one Max Ramsey, who reaches out to the poor in Milwaukee better than anyone I know. Street life, community work there, and pastor of Emmanuel Baptist. Anyhow, it's Jackie with a birthday today. Great sister in Christ. Happy birthday to her. Timothy Brecken turning a year older today, as is Alex Holte. Yes, Laura Gary on my list. You called it, Cliff. And Patty Chris today as well. You all share this February 7th, the birthday, with the likes of, reminder, my mom's birthday is 2 weeks from today. Hello. Set off the gift meter. James Spader, what an actor, for Boston Legal and The Blacklist, 63. We watched Blacklist for a while, my wife and I, and then it got a little too crazy and weird. I just saw that they're going to do a 10th and final season, but yeah, she's not interested. I might still be, I don't know, but it did get a little, it's pretty bizarre. But he's such a good actor, it makes me want to go back and watch Boston Legal. That sounds like a good show. Actor-comedian Eddie Izzard is 61. Chris Rock, 58. He is not hosting the Academy Awards, I don't think, right? No, I don't think so. Right. Ashton Kutcher, 45, and former gang member and federal prisoner turned model, Jeremy Meeks, is 39. That's quite the introduction. Our devotion is 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a real father to you. Ho, ho, I will be a real father to you. And Barry Adams, as per usual, great picture and devotion that goes with that at 365promises.com. I got a little music. Let me read. He says, in my opinion, this one promise summarizes all New Testament revelation. God's desire for all of us is that he would be our real father. Can I hear an amen? Thank you on the back row. That is why Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago to make the way for each one of us to come home to his dad, John 14:6. Everything that Jesus did pointed us to his father. He was the exact representation of his father on earth, Hebrews 1:3. And Colossians 1:15 says, he was the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus loved his father so much that his desire was to bring many sons to glory. Hebrews 2:10-11. Boy, do we have scriptural backing on this. So that God could be a real father to those who would come to him through the finished work of the cross. There's two more paragraphs. I'm going to leave it for you to go check out at 365promises.com. Com. Well, make sure when you get on that plane, you know it's going to your desired destination, right?
Yes, a man from New York, he was leaving on a jet plane. Thought he was going across the world. Instead, he was just going across the country in the wrong direction.
Yeah, a New York man's dreams of an Australian getaway crashed and burned after a misunderstanding resulted in him flying, well, not to Australia.
His name is Kingsley Burnett. He originally hails from Jamaica. He'd reportedly planned on flying from New York's LaGuardia Airport to Australia, where he was scheduled to take a cruise departing from Sydney. Sounds fun.
But when his plane landed, he was not in Australia, but in Billings, Montana, and apparently supposed to catch a connecting flight to Sydney, Montana.
Montana is beautiful. It is a gorgeous state, but they don't do a lot of cruises inland there.
Is this where it's spelling? Because Sydney, Australia, S-Y, Sydney, Montana, S-I.
I don't know.
Evidently. And so Sydney, Montana boasts just over 6,000 people, while Sydney, Australia's population is 5.3 million.
Yeah, his epic travel goof was subsequently confirmed by the gate agent in Billings. I thought this was Australia.
Don't see any kangaroos or wallabies. Yeah, Burnett said he had gotten confused by the airport codes while booking the flight. He says when he booked his flight, he thought, that's a good deal.
Where's the ostriches, mate? Burnett, yeah, that is something. Now he knows why. The gate agent helped him get back to New York, and he plans to fly to Sydney, Australia for his cruise in June.
Well, hopefully he still enjoyed the beautiful state of Montana.
I guess so. I guess. I don't think I've ever been to Montana.
It is phenomenal. Now, there's a long, long, flat, dry, arid stretch in Montana. Mm. But as soon as you get into the mountainous area, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That is, I love my home state here, but Montana's mountains are absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah, I think it's worked out for me. Colorado, Wyoming, a bunch of states. I know I've not checked the box on Alaska and Hawaii and the whole Pacific Northwest, really, truthfully, for me. My son was to Washington State like last year, but I think he's planning to go back. But, you know, like Oregon, haven't been there.
So. Yeah. California for me, but I haven't gone that far up the coast.
Tuesday Trivia, your chance to win on WWIB. I like our question today, but first, what are the prizes?
Well, we have not one, but two passes for 18 holes each of Blacklight Mini Golf at Endgame Mini Golf inside the Cedar Mall in Rice Lake. So we want to send you and a guest to play some mini golf. It's a great time. You will love it. Endgame Mini Golf in Rice Lake. That's our prize for Tuesday Trivia.
All right, very good. And maybe you're going to make the trip here from the Chippewa Valley, or maybe you're somebody who lives in that area. Either way, great prize and a lot of fun. Caleb's talked about firsthand experience. All right, so Super Bowl is on Sunday. We got an NFL-related question. Hang in there. You don't have to be some NFL expert. We have learned that there are three foods that every NFL player consumes. We'll give you two of them. One of them, Caleb, is salmon.
All right.
The other is sweet potatoes. What is the third? That's so the question.
Three foods that every NFL player consumes. Salmon, sweet potatoes, and what? So we're looking for a food, 715-723-2555, 715-723-2555. What food does every NFL player consume?
For your chance to get some free mini golf. Good morning. We go to the phones. And hi, you're our first guesser. What do you got for us today?
Broccoli.
Yeah, broccoli. Good guess. That's not it.
Delicious and a good healthy food.
Yeah,
roughage, absolutely. I suppose. Salmon, sweet potatoes, and what?
Good morning, WWIB.
Hummus?
Is it hummus? Salmon, sweet potatoes, and hummus. It is.
How did you know that?
Well, my son is into lifting and sports and salmon and sweet potatoes and hummus.
I thought the listeners were going to be stumped for a long time.
Seriously, that is incredible. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
The other thing he eats a lot is rice.
Rice, sure.
We actually are in Chautauqua, so
fantastic.
We don't have to make that big of a trip.
Well, fantastic. And what's your name?
Ethan and Tara Brown.
All right, well, Ethan and Tara, how about we send you to play some mini golf, too? And I'll just say, if you've been lifting a lot, too, sometimes you need a gentle stroke. Having played, there's one hole that it took me way, way beyond the maximum strokes. It's a good challenge. You guys are going to have a great time.
Which hole is that?
I think that was 8. I think it was 8 out of the 18.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations. Thanks for listening. Hold the line. We'll work out all the details here on WWIB. She surprised a second guest this morning.
My goodness. So, yes, every NFL player eating, yeah, the salmon, the sweet potatoes, and hummus.
Apparently, that is a known fact in the lifting world. We've got some new rules for etiquette, don't we, Caleb?
New rules for etiquette. Some of these you may agree with. Some you may disagree. You may have additions as well. Apparently, they have 100, quote-unquote, new rules for etiquette. Huh. But here are just a sampling of them.
Yeah, for instance, the new rule is you may callously cancel almost any plans up until 2 p.m. So I presume they mean for the evening.
For the evening, yeah. Yes. I mean, if you're supposed to be somewhere at 2:30, maybe.
Right.
New rules for etiquette, according to an organization called The Cut. They say never wake up your significant other on purpose, mm-hmm. ever. Don't do it.
I have violated that on a handful of occasions, and let me just vouch for that. That's probably a good idea. Also, while on a date, if you find you're talking a lot, ask yourself, when was the last time I asked a question?
And see, that's a dating thing, but also I think just in whenever you're meeting someone.
Yes, totally. Ask questions. Yeah, social behavior, that's great. Like you're out at a dinner party, ask questions.
This is funny. New rules for etiquette. When another human being is present, don't talk to your animal in the private voice you use when alone together.
that is so funny. I love that one. This one, I don't know. It says never send an edible arrangement.
I've never done that, but I don't know what they have against edible arrangements.
Like a candy bouquet? Why not?
That seems kind of nice. This one, they say, new rules for etiquette, that it's okay to ghost after one date. And of course, ghosting, for those uninformed, that's when you don't respond to any calls, texts, emails, etc. I think that's really rude.
Yeah, you just kind of disappear.
I mean, and the thing is, like, say for a guy, be man enough to say, you know what? Mm-hmm. I just don't think there's any spark there. Don't think I'm interested. Yeah. Thank you so much for going out with me, whatever it was. But to just not respond, I would quite strongly disagree with that one. I think that's very impolite.
Yeah. Let me just say I'm glad I'm married. Right. Another one. It's okay to email, text, or direct message anyone at any hour. Really?
I think they're assuming that people have their devices on vibrate after they go to bed, and so it's not going to wake them up.
Uh-huh.
I guess. Here's one, again, new rules for etiquette. If you're in the office, you're wearing shoes, according to this.
I like it.
Wear your shoes.
You get a little too comfortable there. How about another one? You can discipline your friend's kids, but not a stranger's.
Yeah, don't get after my kids if I don't know you.
Let me just say, even disciplining your friend's kids, I'd be pretty cautious on that.
Yeah. I mean, and there's, again, certain friends, too, where it's like, hey, it's okay. You can, you know, I trust you. My child knows you, and you can tell, you know, them not to do something because it's dangerous. How about this? A few more new rules for etiquette. Tell your guests what time you plan to sit down for dinner at a dinner party. For example, the party starts at 7:30. We're sitting at 8. That sounds really late. I would probably like to sleep at 8 or 8:30.
Well, the idea is let them know when you're eating.
Sure.
Hey, here's another one. Even when a kid's party says no gifts, you're supposed to bring a gift.
Yeah, I would agree with that. New rules for etiquette. One more. If someone's baby is crying in public, you don't need to stare at them. Agree. Especially as a family with an infant right now.
Yeah.
Babies cry.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Yeah. It's tough, though. You know, I can think of a event I was at. It wasn't church, but something else in January. And certainly, if it continues to happen, certainly one wonders. And what I might do, not staring, but like a casual glance, like...
Just make sure
everything's okay. You could maybe walk the baby out, you know? So just a thought. Just a thought.
Sure.
All right. There we go. Just a moment here before weather. Got a surprise for Caleb. So I work with Al at my other job, One Source Imaging. And last week he happened to hear live our jokes on Make Us Laugh Monday. And he came away saying, you were funnier. Your jokes were funnier.
Oh,
and so I credited you that and acknowledged that. And so yesterday he had not caught it live. And so, and Al's got some credibility. Al's funny. He's either going to feed me material or we're going to get him on maybe this coming Monday. He told me a funny joke yesterday. But, he said, let me hear the joke. So we played it off the podcast at wib.com. And the only joke he laughed at, who wins round two here?
Out of six, he only laughed at one?
Out of six, he laughed aloud at this one.
Well, I took my daughter to the office on Take Your Kid to Work Day. But when we walked into the office, she started to cry. As concerned staff gathered around, I asked her what was wrong. And she said, Daddy, where are all the clowns you said you work with?
Oh, man.
So I said, so Caleb won again? He said, yeah.
Laughed
a lot at that. And he's got some cred. Not only is he funny, but actually his daughter is a 2-time stand-up comic of the year in Eau Claire, Kansas.
Oh, wow. So, that is some street comic cred there.
There you go. They've got some, they know humor in that family.
We have here in front of us a list of a few things, three in fact, things that as parents we can say, probably should say to our kids and the benefits they're in.
Uh-huh.
And words, I mean, you and I are both probably words of affirmation, uh-huh, love language type of people.
Yep.
And so a lot of these, not just that, but also, maybe improve a parenting style. We all haven't made it yet when it comes to parenting. So
uh-huh. Yeah, so here we go. The first suggestion that you might say to your child every day even that might make a huge difference, do you need a hug? They say 9 times out of 10, it's a yes, and sometimes that's all it takes to end a tantrum.
Three things to say to your kids' parents. Number two, do you want to talk about it? Now, whether or not they want to talk about it, they say, is less important than just giving them the option, letting them know you're here to listen.
Hmm. And finally, I am so happy to see you. The way you act when your child enters the room is important for their well-being and a sense of self.
Huh. And I think about that, you know, it goes the opposite way, too, about when your kids are glad to see you. You know, I come home and sometimes I'm really tired and kind of drained. But when I have a five-year-old who's rushing toward me with arms outstretched because she's so glad that I'm just there, not that I brought her something, but just that I'm home, that I'm there. So, turning that around and letting your children know, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad to have you.
Absolutely. So there you go. Some thoughts, and try to put that into your parenting. I think couldn't hurt. That's for sure.